What's out this year?
Definitely people will hold your
message. Can I put some pudding on the shawarma? Let's get out of here. Let's get you guys
in. Okay.
Milting.
So this week's parsha is introduction, the real introduction to the mitzvahs in the Torah. A lot of mitzvahs in the Torah, and Shnei Mikra is very, very easy until this week, and now it's the first week that it's going to get somewhat difficult. Okay, and a lot of it is because there's a lot of mitzvahs to go through, and to a certain extent, a lot of the mitzvahs, they're all sort of based in Yetzias Mitzrayim. If you look at the sheet in front of you. It's a very, very important Sefer Achinuch that we're going to look through. And it's on the mitzvah of not breaking a bone of the Korban Pesach. So you shech the Korban Pesach, okay, in the afternoon on your Davod. And then you prepare it for that night. That night you eat the Korban Pesach, something like that. So that night you eat the Korban Pesach. Now when you eat the Korban Pesach, the halachas are how you eat it. It has to be eaten in a specific place and whatever. But one of the halachas is that you're not allowed to break a bone of the Korban Pesach. So why is it that the will of the Torah was you shouldn't break a bone of the Korban Pesach? So there are different mefarshim on it. We're going to look at the Sefer Achinuch's explanation and then see if we can learn some lessons from him. Okay, so look at Tazayin. It says, the Isser is Shalal Lishbor Etzem Mikol Atzmos HaPesach. Any bone. Doesn't matter if it's a bone that has in it. Why would a person break the bone? Because a person might want the marrow. You want to suck out the marrow, right? And it doesn't matter though, the halacha is whether it's a bone that has marrow or does not have marrow in it, you're not allowed to break the bone. So why is the Torah care? So here he goes. And it's a long one. But it's an important one. Mishar Sheha Mitzvah, Lizkor Nisei Mitzrayim. So the source of the mitzvah is to remember the Nisim, okay, that happened in Mitzrayim. Kemoshe Kasavnu Bacheros. Like we wrote so many times, because this is not the first mitzvah of Pesach that he enumerates. V'gamze Gizo Min HaShoresh HaNizkar. This is also sourced in the same reason. She'ein Kavod Levnei Malachim, V'yasei Eretz. It's not respectful for kings, okay, or advisors, wise people, smart people. He's talking about great people to go ahead and ligror atzamos l'shavim kiklavim, like a bunch of dogs. They're breaking bones, trying to suck at the marrow. Okay, lo yei lasos kacha ki im laniyei ha'am harevim. Only starving poor people should do things like that. The alkein b'tchila boenu, when we first came, lios sgula kol ha'amim, when we came to be the great chosen nation. Okay, after years of slavery, v'amleches kohanim v'am kadosh. Right, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying we have to get out of that avdus poverty mentality and be like kings, rich people, and not be like, you know, people who are just trying to think about it. If you were a slave, every little, if someone presented you even with a bone, you would suck out every little last drop because you don't know where your next meal is coming from. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with this mitzvah, their first meal as free people, is telling them to go, that they should not eat it as poor people. There's a different change. You should eat it like b'nei malachim. And so too, for the rest of time, b'chol shana b'shana, also hazman. When we're celebrating becoming free, roi lanu lasos ma'isim hamarim, we need to do acts that demonstrate banu hamala hagadola, that demonstrate the great level that we've reached. Shalinu labo sasha, u'mitocha ma'aseh v'hadimyon, and from both act and imagining what we're supposed to be like at this time, shanachnu osim, that will cause what? Nikba b'nachshoseinu adavar l'olam. So what's he saying? This is not just an act of demonstrating. It's not a ceremony to represent something. What is he telling us? It's actually training us to live like malachim. It's training us, right? That's the language he uses here. Through a masa, through an act, and dimyon, okay, and imagination, because the act will inspire imagination. Why am I doing this act? Ooh, that's a juicy bone. I really would love to suck at the marrow. But wait, I'm not going to do that, because after all, I'm supposed to be like a melech, and I'm stopping from doing that. And that's going to train us to be malachim. That's going to train us to be kingly. Okay? L'olam. Now, here's the important part. Because he's going to now show that this yisod is the most important yisod of all the mitzvos. Even though common sense might tell us it's not so important. Why do you have to play these games? Why do you have to act like this? Okay, so look what he says. Now remember, the Sefer Achinuch is a Sefer written for his son. Okay, he's giving instructions to his son to remember the mitzvos, and he's training him. Now this is interesting. The Al Tachshov Bini, my son, Don't think to catch me and to say that I'm saying something wrong. Why is Hashem commanding us? Okay, you have this idea. You want to make us imagine we're free people. You want to make us imagine, train us in a certain way. So why do you have to do this over and over? There are so many mitzvos that are Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why is it repeated constantly, constantly in different mitzvos and different actions? It should suffice that we do one and then it's going to be solid in us, and we're not going to want to go ahead and not act the right way. And that's enough. V'lami tzav osa Hashem lasas kol eila zichron osa anes. Halo b'zichron echad yale hadava b'nachshav osenu. You need one zikaron, and then we're going to understand that we're free people, that we're going to remember Mitzrayim and all the lessons. And that's good enough. And that will cause it. V'lo yishkaf nevi zareinu. So he says, don't ask that. Kim lo mi chachma, not from wisdom, tipasein yalza. That's foolishness. And it's actually narishkeit, okay? It's actually childish thinking. It's immature thinking. And the truth is, when you think about it, the younger you are, the more idealistic you are, right? I think he's very, very literal, okay? In the sense that the younger you are, you say, if you believe it, okay, and it's the right thing to do, then you're going to do it. And just going and harping on it and saying the same thing or repeating it in different forms, but it's still the same thing, it's not going to help train a person. If it's the right thing to do, it's good enough that we just have good thoughts. That's Christianity to a certain extent, right? Why are we all of these things? So he's saying the son is at least accepting that we should have some representation in action, right? Whereas Christianity doesn't stress actions at all, right? But he's saying the son would still argue that at the end of the day, why do you have to constantly repeat over and over and over again doing the same action? Okay? One time should be enough. And as long as my heart's good, then it's all going to work out. So he's going to say, that's childish thinking. It's ideal. It's ideal. Halavai, right? Think about it. If this is a lesson, it's important enough for Judaism, then a one-time warning would suffice and we could go on. But he's saying, nope. Right? That's narishkeit. Now he'll explain why. Why is it important that the Torah has so many mitzvot that reminds us of the same thing, Yetzias Mitzrayim? So watch what he says. This is very important. It's sowed in Judaism, in life. Ya'ata b'ni bina, if you're wise, shima zos v'ate az nechoshma. Listen to this. I'll teach you to be effective in your Torah and mitzvot. Da, know this. Ki ha'adam nif'al kefi p'ulos. This is the most important line. The whole shiur is going to be on this line. A man acts, okay, based on his actions. Okay, a person is motivated. A person will react. A person will behave according to the different actions that he does. Okay, v'libo v'chol machshivos av tamid achar masav shu osek b'hem mitov ra. A person will always go with the flow. A person is always going to go with what's most obvious around him, okay? Whether it's good or bad, and I'll bring examples. And I feel Rasha Gamur. Let's say you take an evil person, a terrible evil person. The Chol Yetzer Machshavos Libo Rak Rak Kol Yom. He's every bad mida in the world, and all he's doing all day is plotting how he can do bad. Okay? Im Ya'ara Rucho V'Yasi Mishtalusa V'Yisko V'Hasmada V'Torah Mitzvos. If he would just decide that Rasha, he's all the bad in his heart. But then he says, I'm going to mekabel mitzvos. Okay? It doesn't mean he changed his heart at all. He's still bad inside. He still wants bad to happen to people. Obviously, some mitzvos he won't be able to accomplish. Atle rech kamocha will be difficult. But he's putting on tefillin. Okay? But he's avoiding shabbos. And he's keeping shabbos. But inside he has all those evil. All that evil's there. So most of us would say, well, he's a hypocrite. We don't need that kind of guy. Right? So he says, no. Even if he's not doing l'shem shemaim, and he's doing the actions, he's taking mitzvahs and Torah on himself, miyad yinata el hatov, that automatically, okay, is deviating towards good, even though inside he didn't improve himself at all, even though inside he didn't change his midos, he hasn't worked on himself, ubekoach masav, and through his actions, yomis hayetzahara, he'll kill the yetzahara. It'll work, he says. You guys ever hear that line before? It's something you have to learn by heart. It's like one of these sodas in Judaism. So, based on your actions, your heart will be drawn. So the Rasha, he goes ahead and decides he's going to take on some mitzvos, right? And it's going to be great. So now you can understand, to a certain extent, why Lubavitch chased down people. Not saying they're Rasha, right? But they're certainly not religious. Why does it matter whether he puts on tefillin or not? Could be it, one time, just it happens to be, it's a lot deeper, the reason why they do. I'm not going to go into it now, based on certain things in the Baal HaTanya. But from this element alone, just getting a Jew to do a mitzvah one time, when you go out for lunch with a coworker and you ask him, do me a favor, I'll pay for lunch, just make a bracha. Okay, so what's the big deal? If you made the bracha or you didn't make the bracha, doesn't matter. That alone will change it. You never know what will change you. But he's saying more than that. He's saying your pulos, your actions, determine where your heart is. Okay? And it works the other way also. Even if you're a tzaddik gamur, ulavavo yashiv etamim, and you have a straight heart, chavetz b'torah b'mitzvah, imulai yasok tamim b'dvarim shel dofi, but he's always involved. He's always doing the right thing. Okay? Sorry, he has a good heart. Excuse me. He has a good heart. But, okay, he's involved with things of vanity. Like, say, for example, okay, he's got an interesting example now. I take a person, okay, who's a tzaddik, but the melech is going to force him, okay, to do what? To have a bad profession. He's going to force him to be involved in something that definitely involves crime. The melech forces him, okay? The MS in Kol Isko Tami Kol Ayom Beosa Manus. If that's his job, he's going to spend all day on that job. Yashuv Uzman Min Azmanim Mitzikas Libo. He's eventually going to go off the derech. Okay, Leo's Rasha Gamor. He'll become a Rasha Gamor. Because again, Achrei Apulos Nimshach Halavavos. And if it doesn't matter what's in your heart, okay. In other words, he's not going to argue that it doesn't matter. But in terms of where you're holding, okay, in terms of what kind of person you're going to be, the pu'ulos, the actions that you do, determine where your heart's going to be. And then that will determine future behavior. Because then if you go ahead at some point and take the tzaddik gamur out of that job, he still became bad. He'll now do bad. It will determine that now he will do bad on his own. Okay? You can't, a man, okay, is for sure biased by his surroundings. And you can't avoid that at all. Okay? Al Kain, Amru Chachamenu Zichronu Mavracha. The famous line, so that's why Hashem gave us so many mitzvos. Why did Hashem give us so many mitzvos? In order to put into them, okay, their machshavos vilos behenizkenu. Hashem wanted to busy us with mitzvos, because again, the same yisod. If we're busy with mitzvos, it's going to improve us. Okay, you can't compare these 2 12-year-olds. You take the wildest kid in a cheder. Okay, and compare him with another 12-year-old in public school. At the end of the day, the wildest kid in cheder, he's not behaving, but he's in a cheder, he's in a good environment, he's in an environment that, and he's trained. What's he trained? That he can't just throw something into his mouth. He can't just go ahead and put something in his mouth. Okay? If you put in front of him pig, that wildest kid, if you put in front of him a candy, and it's not kosher, as much as it looks great, he's not going to take it. It's not even on his radar screen. He barely has the Yetzirah for it.
Yeah. You're going to believe that?
Absolutely.
So, okay, so can we go through people now who went to cheder and ended up being horrific people?
No, it's not. It could be because they did this. Because they violated this. Because they then surrounded themselves with that. You're only going to prove my point with that argument, right? You see why, right? In other words, that guy didn't go ahead and go to cheder, and the next day, he's like, okay, I'm over there, I'm over there. Right? That's not going to happen, right? The guy who was in a good environment went ahead and put himself in a bad environment. The pulos from nimshach levavos. Okay, there. If you want, you don't like. If cheder is a word you want, take any yeshiva guy, even a modern kid. Okay, the kid is going to think they don't. A modern kid will not have a true yetzahara. I'm going to eat that candy, and he's struggling with it. He might want the candy, but he's going to give it up in a second. It's like I want the candy, but I can't have it. It's not. It's impossible. It's not going to happen. I'm not going to eat that candy. He's controlling himself. That kid in public school has no such thing. That so he's always because of our mitzvahs, we're always in check. What does that show you? It's not just a shot that so he's a higher person because he does the mitzvahs. He has self control. He's a kone de mida of self control. Where does that public school kid have to demonstrate self control? He doesn't. No one's asking him to demonstrate self control. Okay, and if he deviates, maybe in school and this and that. But to what degree does he have to say? It's available, and I'm not going to have it. And that's it. There's so many decisions that Jews, Orthodox Jews, make on a daily basis that it's off my radar screen. They're demonstrating self-control. That improves them to be a controlled person. Okay? So, he goes on. Okay, so there's an interesting story of Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Someone once was bothered by the halacha. You will probably learn the first seven simanim of the Shulchan Aruch. And there's so many details over there, that what sequence you tie your shoe, etc. So someone bothered, like, what does the Kaddish Baruch Hu care whether I tie my right shoe and then tie my left shoe? I put on my right shoe, put on my left shoe, tie my left shoe, put on my right shoe. Why does Hashem care? It's like so small. So ever hear an answer to the question? What do you guys think?
Conditions you to have to do what Hashem wants us to do.
Very good. Close. Let me refine a little. Yeah?
It makes you constantly think of Hashem. You might think it's a punnet mitzvah, but when you stop and think to yourself, what shoe do I put on? You're like, wait a minute, why am I thinking about this thing? It's like, oh, it's halacha.
Right, so it's training you to think about Hashem. Acharep ulos nimshach halavavos. Right? So, Rishon Zalman Orbach answers like this. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is actually, it's called, that's mamas the greatest case of Ratzah Hashem Lezakos. It's Yisrael, Lefichach Hirba Torah Mitzvos. We have to put on our shoes. We're not going to go outside without our shoes. Okay, every day we put on shoes. Now, we could do it and get nothing out of it. Once Chazal say, do it in the sequence, that's a schus for Yisrael. It's not the shot that if you don't put on your shoes in that right way, there's a special Gehenim for a person like you. You're going to the Gehenim where they don't wear shoes. And it's hot, right? It's not going to happen, okay? It's a blown opportunity. It's the Hashem gave us that's the best, those halachas are the best example. You have to do it anyway, okay? So Kadosh Baruch Hu was mezakas and said, I'm going to give you an opportunity. Now you do it this way, and it's another acharei pulos nimshach halavavos kind of a case where we're training you to think about Kadosh Baruch Hu, okay? You had to do it no matter what. So Hashem gave us Torah mitzvos, and that's a tremendous, tremendous chus that we have. Okay, and he said.
Wait, by the way,
yeah.
How do Crocs tie into that halacha?
How do Crocs? I send the shoes without laces. So you put on your right and put on your left. That's it.
Because they also have like a flip thing, so should you like flip? Like I've seen.
Yeah, someone
put on like sandals that were it's like flipped forward, and then they put the right one in the left one, and then they like take their foot out and like, flip it backwards. And
the crack, the foot thing is forward. No.
It's like so you put your shoes on it, and it's like that, like right left, and then you like lift your. I've seen someone do that.
So is that guy
like right left right? I don't know.
I don't know. But one of the things, just the fact that the guy's thinking about it. Right? I don't know what the halach is. Maybe Vieska or Posey there would know better. But doesn't that just show you that the person gets to be empty about it. But, again, Acharei Pulos Nimshach Lo'os. I could do this the regular way. Or I could do it in a way that would help me serve Hashem. And he's trying to think, what would help me comply better with the Ratzon of Hashem? So look what he's doing. He's training himself to think about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's tremendous. That's amazing. Right? And that then... Right, well, let's go on. So look at the next paragraph. Let's actually stop with this here and go to the final paragraph. Achar dat chazer. After that, al yiksha alecha me'ata. Now it should not be difficult for you. The ribui hamitzvos v'inyan zechiras yitnisim Yisrael. Chen amu gadol b'tar seinu. So now, once we understand that Yisias Mitzrayim and what it gives us, Emunah Hashem, etc., lots of things that he discussed in earlier mitzvos and Shechitas Korban Pesach, other mitzvos. Once we understand how important Yisias Mitzrayim is, so Hashem wants us to miragel and to be used to thinking in terms of Yisias Mitzrayim. So he gave us lots of mitzvos because Acharei Pulos Nimshach Halavavos. Now the Maseiros Yesharim is more often quoted for this yisod. Okay, and this is at the end of Rizus. I wonder if there's a difference. I'll ask you guys to tell me if you think there's a difference. Okay. Rizus, we know, is doing things with zeal, alacrity. You're doing things with fire, brand, right? So he says like this. V'yamnum kvar yadata. You already know. Shanir tse yoseh b'avodas habore. Okay, the most desired level in avodas habore is b'ach shemo, hu chivetz halev. It's when we desire to do the things that we do. So whom should David HaMelech mishalel b'chelko atov, when David HaMelech is saying how lucky he is, ka'ayot harog alaf b'keimayim, like moving like a deer, a heart, it says on the side here, alaf b'keimayim, kein nafshi tarog elecha elokim. So I will long for you just like an ayol moves. So you know that an ayol moves with a certain amount of zrizus. Moves fast, right? It goes. Sama nashi lokim, and I thirst for you, Hashem. Okay, and he goes and says, another pasuk, "Ulam ha'adam asher ein hachemda hazot lohetes bo karaui." But a person whose desire for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, okay, whose longing for excellence isn't burning in him in the right way, so it's an eitza tova hi lo sheizareis birtzono. It's a he do well, okay, trying to put himself so that he's yizareis birtzono. He should try to fire up his ratzon. He should try to inspire himself. Kidei. He should act with a certain amount of speed and fire and behave in a manner like that, so in order that he can fire himself up inside. Right? In other words, you don't have that shuka. You don't have that drive. So what's a person supposed to do? He's supposed to get self-inspired. You light yourself up, okay? And then you come over in you that kind of level of inspiration. Because they're talking about a person who is really not inspired. Okay? A person who doesn't feel that drive like David HaMelech felt, that his nefesh is like an aisle. No, the guy slept up. He doesn't want to get out of bed in the morning. When he gets out of bed, he's doing Hashem a favor, or he's signing up for the tenant sheet. So what the person is supposed to do? The person is supposed to create that fire on his own. You just do it, right? When you wake up, you can say, oh man, I'm tired, but I'm going to get up right now, because I need to do that. Eventually, that will translate into a true fire for mitzvahs. Why? Ki hatznua hachitzona, the movement, outer movements, okay, wake you up inwardly. So it's very similar. So he's trying to tell you that if you don't have that mitzvah of zeal, of zrizus, so what you need to do is sort of fake the zrizus, act in a way of zrizus, and then your heart will be zari to do the ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? Ubevadai. We definitely have more control over external things than over internal things. So even if you're not feeling fire, it's hard to bring yourself to feel fire inside. If you're not inspired, so what are you supposed to do? He tells you, you're supposed to act inspired. You're supposed to behave like an inspired person behaves, okay? Because it's easy to act outwardly. But again, we're still acting outwardly, and that's very, you know, it's a little bit of a different yisod than Sefer Chinuch. You're acting with a certain amount of fire, that will then bring on fire in you. If you behave a certain way a certain amount of times, that will train you to act in a certain way. Is that the same yisod as the Sefer Chinuch? It might be. What do you guys think?
Sounds the same.
What do you guys think? Yeah? All agree? Because the only difference truly is he's telling, it could be just another application of the same thing. Right? The Sefer HaChinuch is saying that the Torah, in a very positive way, the whole goal of mitzvahs is to train you to think in this way. Now we have a nafka mina, okay? It's not just that, yeah, Hashem gave you lots of mitzvahs in order to train you to be busy with Him so that you will become a perfect person inside. If you can even do, you know, even if you're lacking in the way you perform mitzvahs, okay, you could use the same yisod. Okay, that the outwardness improves your inward, right? But it's not exactly the same. But it seems to be that the Sefer HaChinuch is sort of the master plan here. Okay, and an application of that would even be not just as a whole lifestyle, but even when you're suffering from problems. Okay, even when things aren't quite working out for you, when you're not inspired. Okay, you can try to use this trick. Okay, to inspire you more. So. What's interesting is I saw in Rav Avigdor Miller, in a couple of places, he uses this yesod. And he applies this. Where is it?
Have you read
39
Nights of Avigdor Miller?
I haven't read it, but I listen to like his shiurim all the time, his Thursday night shiurim all the time, and when I get to the end, I hear them. Why?
There's some great questions in there.
Yeah.
Q&A.
He gave a shiur every Thursday night in Shavet Zion in Brooklyn, and for literally from like the 70s until 2001.
When he died,
it was 1,273 shiur. Okay, that's on my iPod. That's what I have. It. And you can see the change of his voice when he was younger in the early 70s to when he's like in his 90s. It's like a huge difference. It's right here in my pocket. So what? He died 2000. Yeah, his year site, April. I didn't know him, and it was a real chaval.
He's Rav Nachman's Rebbe.
Yeah.
He's Rav
Nachman's
Rebbe. You know Rav Nachman's other Rebbe was?
Okay.
Okay. There you go.
Four so, Okay. So, another halacha from the beginning of Shulchan Aruch. Listen to this. Okay, he goes, the post can bring down, then a person gets undressed, he's supposed to cover himself with a blanket. And he shouldn't say, who sees me? After all, I'm in my room. After all, Hashem sees him. So the obvious question on that, like, Hashem can't see under your blanket. Right? Everyone asks that question. Yeah.
What do you do at the gym?
Same thing, dress in a tedious way. You know there's a different...
No, I'm talking about the locker room.
Yeah, I just put a towel over
yourself. What's if you need to use the shower?
So again, you put a towel to yourself. Well, you do the mikvah. You stretch your stuff, walk into the bath, and you put a towel on until the last minute. People do that the other way, but I can't imagine that that's right, according to the Shulchan Aruch. You should probably wear your towel until the very, very end. Now, some people say that there's a different issue, that you shouldn't be too covered up in a mikvah like that, because then you're showing as if you're embarrassed about the Bris Avram of you. Okay, so there's got to be a happy medium, you know.
So you shouldn't just walk around naked.
I certainly don't. I certainly don't. I feel very uncomfortable just like.
You haven't seen it for a while.
What? All right. So anyway, yeah, I think. But again, so here's the question: where's the Kaddish Baruch? Is he under the blanket also? In Melochol Aretz Kavodo, he's in your Cheder Chadarim. Okay, in Melochol Aretz Kavodo, is he under the blanket? Isn't he even inside your blood vessels or whatever? You know, like the Melochol Aretz Kavodo. So Yesh Lomar, he says, Kaddish Baruch Hu Kivyachol Roeg. Right. So Yishal Yisrabos Mehabariolam. You can't hide from the Bariolam, right? About Indian who. That a man needs to act as if he's standing in front of the king. Okay? And umashahu mitchasev b'smicha, and the fact that he's covering himself with a blanket, to show it's a sensitivity. He's showing that he feels the presence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's not the shock that when you're walking around naked in your room. Okay, so what you're basically saying, you're there's a certain kind it's not here. You're carrying on your daily activities. But when you still do some effort, closing the door to your room we wouldn't say that that's a good enough effort. Okay? Because then you're just driving out men. Okay? But when you put a towel around yourself when you're getting dressed, okay, and so what you're saying is, I'm making some effort, because why? Because I'm aware that Hashem Baruch Hu is here. And why is that important? So he brings down from the Mesillas Yesharim, Tenua Achitzonis Me'oreres Es Achnimis. Okay, just like we said, the same is so. That external actions are the pnimi. Okay, it's very hard to change inside. That you don't, right? God's not. Yeah, I don't see God. I don't feel God. So we need to do pa'ulos that demonstrate that we're behaving as if it's mamish. We see God as a person right here in front of us, and we behave that way. Okay, and that will then change our behavior so that we become more familiar with God. Right, the more you do these things, that's why those halachas, how you start your day, etc., are so very, very important. Because what you're doing is you're demonstrating that I'm going to behave as if God is a person in this room, and eventually you're going to go and you're going to feel the presence of God for real. Right? So he says, a person who's makpid lislabesh, or lispashet, to get dressed or undressed, bitznias bibusha, yagia levasof, at the end to a hargasha of busha mifnei habore yisbarach. Okay. So here you go. So here's an interesting case. He says, if you have a person, he said it earlier. Actually, I don't want to say this. I don't want to say this. Sort of close. We don't have time to go through it. But that's what Rav Vigdimila basically says. You should behave in a certain way to bring you out. Now, Rav Vigdimila talks about all the time. He always talks about how a person should walk around and talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? And you should act in a certain, make you stresses very much doing actions that can try to change you. So for example, if you say good morning to a person, okay? So we usually just throw out a good morning because it's what we do and it's meaningless and there's nothing behind it except for Derech Eretz, which is not nothing, but it's not enough. There's much more. But if you, after you pass by that person, okay, and you're walking past them, and you say to yourself again, you don't have to say it out loud, maybe you can mouth it if no one's listening, but even to yourself, I hope he has a good morning. He said to you, when I say good morning, I mean that. I want him to have a good morning. I want that everything should go great. I want him to have shalom bayis in his house. I want him to have an effective morning seder. I want him to come out with the gishma. Right? All of that you can do. You can do that. So now you just transformed your good morning into, and you're thinking about what you're doing. You certainly need the good morning. Right? That's his basic derech eretz. But it could be so much more. And he talks about when you say Baruch Hashem, it's the same thing. Right? Baruch Hashem should come not just as you're throwing it out as a nicety, okay, but the ultimate goal of doing those Baruch Hashems, it's going to change you, make you into a fine person. Acharei tenuos and shachas alavavos, after your movements, your heart will change. But it could be so much more. You need to come eventually to fulfilling the chovas alavavos as well, to fulfilling becoming a better person, a person who has a karav for Hashem. Okay. Now, there's an interesting idea in the Michta Meliyah. We'll finish with this piece, and it's just funny. Why is it like? It seems a little bit like I'm pushing hypocrisy here to a certain extent, right? Do external actions to change your pnimius, but you know that so many people are ultimately mired in those external actions, and nothing progresses from there. Right? That's like sort of the elephant in the room. As much as we want to stress mitzvos, and as much as we want to stress acting in a certain way, but very often it doesn't really translate. So the Michta Eliyahu has a very interesting idea. It's a different idea, but I think it relates. And that he talks about the yisod of mitosh shelo lishma balishma. Okay, yes, the Gemara says you should always l'olam yasok adam b'torah shelo lishma should mitosh shelo lishma balishma. So he says, why is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu designed the world such that we should do the Lashon Lishma? Why should we always try to be Lishma? Now, of course, we'll say that that's going to fail and it's not going to work. But why did Hashem design the world that was a necessary component for Avodas Hashem? Why did He make our neshamas such that we could do better than that? What's the pshat? Okay. So he says, he brings down the ladder of Yaakov. What was the whole dream of Yaakov? So Yaakov went to sleep and he had a dream. There's a sulam, there's mutzav arts of Rosh HaMagiyah Shemayim. And he saw Malachim Olam V'yordim. But what was Hashem telling him? What was the symbolism behind this great ladder? So he says, who's this he saw from? Simchus this one? I forgot who he says it from. But he says that ladder is the ladder of Avodas Hashem. Okay, maybe have you heard this mashal before? Anyone heard this mashal before? It's very, very big yisod. He says the whole Avodas Hashem is as like a ladder, just like a ladder. You can't like really skip steps to fall to the bottom. It's not going to work. It's step by step, by step by step. Okay, and Rosh HaMagiyah Shemayim. There's unlimited levels that a person can achieve. Okay, so Yaakov was given this dream of what all of Avodas Hashem is all about. Well, Avodas Hashem is a ladder. And now, just like a ladder, you have some people who are handicapped. They can't get up the ladder. So how do they get up the ladder? People help them. Right? People help them up the ladder. So what's that like? In the spiritual world, it's kind of like you have a person who's spiritually handicapped. He's born into a non-religious home. He's born into this environment or that environment. He has this mental issue. He's OCD, ADD, this and that. Those are whatever. The person has various traits that will make it very, very difficult, as if he's like the handicapped person trying to climb a ladder. So what's that person supposed to do? So that person is supposed to get help. Maybe he has to go on someone's back. You know, maybe someone will help him get up the ladder. Okay? It could be with a Rebbe. It could be with a friend. Whatever it is. That all of us are on the same, we're all climbing ladder. And you go step by step. Okay? And you don't want to stand on the same rung. Right? Because it's very, very easy, if you're not going with a certain motion up the ladder, it's very, very easy to climb back down and to move back down. Okay? And you can literally slip. And there's certain actions you could do, you can fall off the ladder. But there's nothing you could do to jump to the top of the ladder. That seems to be clear, except that he shows you that there's one thing you can do, and that's called Yeshkon Olam B'Sha'achas, etc. But we're not going to get into that right now. But he has to say that that's also, doing mitzvot shelo lishma is just like when a person is handicapped or whatever, there's certain tricks that he needs to help him move ahead. Just like a person would need a Rebbe, he's not self-motivated, or he has this problem or that problem to help him get up the ladder. So lo lishma also helps you when you have challenge at mishmar, okay, when you have this reason to get up, when you have an attendance sheet, when you have shawarma in the morning. There are different things that motivate you, okay, to come and get out of bed and say, today's the day I'm going to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All of those are begedir shelo lishma. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu designed that's the world. That's why he made shelo lishma so important. The only way to come to Torah is through the shelo lishma. Don't think that you're going to beat it by saying, I'm going to do things for ideal reasons. I think that, certainly said, another raya for that is exactly the sugya we're talking about here. Okay, he doesn't mention that here, but the fact that External actions can change your hearts. Avodas Hashem is not just about mitzvahs. Dikta b'mitzvahs is not unimportant. You're following the rules of the king. But the ultimate goal of mitzvahs, if you look in the beginning of the Chovas HaLevavos, he says we stress Chovas HaYivarim so much. What happened to the Chovas HaLevavos? What happened to the obligations of our hearts? And he says, I'm going to write a whole sefer on it. And he's the first to do it. And he has to spend the whole Dhamma trying to justify why he's doing it. But the Chovas HaLevavos is the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal of doing mitzvos is to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so that's also like there's a certain aspect of we try to mizarize ourselves and do external actions and do, you know, masim chitzoniim to me'orer the fire of the pnimius. That's also part of the same ladder that Nechtan Le'ah is describing. To get up that ladder, we need to do certain actions. If you go ahead and say, I'll do certain things, okay, but I'm not going to try to me'orer myself, but you need that to go advance the ladder. There's all these different tools that we have that help us grow. And one of those things is Torah Shloshma. And another thing is performing external actions. Okay, so you want to take one example, getting dressed. How do we dress in the morning? Do you want to put on a t-shirt? Is your shirt dirty? Are you wearing it untucked when you could tuck it in? Okay, what are you wearing on Shabbos? How do you make those decisions, etc.? You want to say that Shabbos is a holy day, so you need to dress accordingly. You need to find something that makes Shabbos distinguished, because the chitzonis is more as the pnimius. It's not good. If you go ahead and you wear your jeans on Shabbos, or you wear a t-shirt on Shabbos, it's not going to be the same day. It's impossible. It's impossible it should be the same day, because your externals motivate your internal. And all people say, why is clothes important? The answer is, you know, clothes do make the man. Clothes really make the man. Depending on what you wear, if I put you on a police outfit or I put you on a Hasidic outfit, you're going to act differently. Okay? If I put you on, if I literally give you an entire baseball outfit with cleats or a football outfit with the whole nine yards, you will feel differently. It's impossible for you not to feel differently. The chitzonis is ma'aris upnimius. And I'm not just talking about clothes, it's an easy example, it applies to everything, but too many people say, it doesn't matter if I do this as long as it's good inside, and that is just wrong yourself. That does not work, and that was the whole point of the shiur today, that you cannot underestimate the value of doing chitzonis actions to bring in the fire of pnimius. And I hope I gave you some tool. You may have known about it, but I hope we stress a tool that could very much aid you in growing your Yesh Yamayim. All right. Yeah.